Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Let's be honest here today, because fear and worry are a very, very big problem to deal with in our Christian lives. I don't know about you, but nearly every Christian I know, including myself, struggles with fear and worry from time to time. My guess is here today that the vast majority of you are worrying about something. There's something you're worrying about. Maybe your job. Maybe your marriage relationship. Maybe you're worried about a child. Maybe you're worried about our country. There's a lot of different things that you could be worrying about here today. But my guess is that nearly every person here in the auditorium today is worrying about something. Fear and worry, they are very real problems that you and I deal with day in and day out. Well, there's some help here today in our text. And I want to speak from Philippians 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. We're going to look at verse 6, and in a few minutes we'll look at verse 7. And then toward the end of the message we'll look at verse 8. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that word careful there means anxious. Paul is saying don't be anxious about anything in your life, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In the Greek, that word careful carries with it the idea of being pulled in different directions. Hope pulls us in one direction, but when we're overcome with worry and fear, we are pulled in all kinds of different directions. Consequently, when we are overcome with fear and worry, we are being pulled apart. So how can we have victory over worry? How can we have victory over worry? I want to give you two thoughts today with several sub-thoughts, all right? Two thoughts that I want you to write down. Number one, we must pray right. We must pray right. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Look at verse 6 again. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be so overcome with anxiety and with fear. But instead, what does it say? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. John Haggai wrote a very, very famous book called How to Win Over Worry. And in that book, he writes this statement, and I quote, "Prayer raises us to God's level. It takes us into God's atmosphere. It brings into communion and intimacy with God." It brings us to that place where we make connection again with God through prayer. When we pray, we are acknowledging our need of God. The opposite could be true. If we are not praying, we're essentially saying, God, I don't need you today. I've got this handled. I can take care of life today. I don't need you to help me at all today. I've got things covered. Prayer, when we pray, we are saying, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I can't do life without you. I can't go through this valley without the Lord. You see, we're admitting that without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do anything. You say, well, now, you mean we can do anything? Yeah. Drop down to verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things. And he doesn't stop right there and put a period, does he? Paul doesn't say, I can do all things. No. In and of ourselves, we can't do it. But instead, he goes on and he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, when we pray, we are saying, Lord, I can't make it today without you. I can't get through this upcoming week. All these problems that I'm dealing with right now, God, I need you to help me to get through this. The Apostle Paul uses three words to describe the kind of prayer life that we need to have. By the way, each word emphasizes a different aspect of prayer. You say, what does it mean to pray right? Well, Paul gives us three things here in Philippians 4, verse 6. Number one, prayer, which means the word in its very basic meaning means to worship or to adore. In other words, when we find ourselves overcome with fear and with worry, our first thought ought to be to get alone with God and remind ourselves of who God is. There are moments in our lives when we need to pause and we need to be reminded of how great and how omnipotent our God is. We need to understand that there is no problem too big that He cannot handle. Now, you may be overwhelmed with something right now in your life, and you may be wondering, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Take your eyes off the problems and put your eyes on God. That's what prayer does. When we get alone with God in prayer, we're reminded our God's a great God. Our God is an omnipotent God. He has all power. Your problem is not too big for God. It may be too big for you, but it's not too big for God. And I believe that God puts problems that are too big for us on us so that we will realize, you know what, I don't have what it takes. I need God. And then we go before God. We go into His presence in prayer asking for His help. We need to remind ourselves that God is sovereign and God is in control right now. Listen to me, because we worry when we take our eyes off of God. You see, when we pray, it puts our minds back on Him. It gets our eyes focused again. It gets our eyes off of all the problems and all the things that we're dealing with that we don't have answers to. And we suddenly quit looking at that, because if you just focus on that, you will be overcome with fear and worry. And instead, you get your eyes back on the Lord, and you begin to adore Him. You begin to worship Him for who He is and what He can do in your life. You see, when we pray, we're expressing our dependency upon God. But then there's a second aspect to praying right, and that is the word supplication. We see that here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication refers to specific prayer requests. God wants us to specifically verbalize the needs and the concerns that we have in our life. Now, God doesn't need to be informed about anything. God's omniscient, right? He knows everything. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows what's going on in the ministry here at Canton Baptist Temple. He knows everything. But He still wants us to come to Him and to express our fears and to express our worries to Him. You see, we need to be specific with our prayer requests. We need to verbalize it and convey to God what is bothering us. By the way, this is the way that Jesus prayed when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember that as He made His way to the cross and He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and He had prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done"? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 says this about Jesus praying, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and what? Supplications, specific prayer requests with strong crying and tears. Don't ever feel ashamed of shedding tears in the presence of God. Jesus shed tears. Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. Being 100% human, He felt His need for God the Father to give Him the strength that He needed to get through what God's plan was for His life. And what was that? To go to the cross and to die for the sins of the whole world. And He needed that strength, and He came with crying in tears, the Bible says, unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. We know that ultimately God the Father was saying to God the Son, there is no other way to redeem mankind. I cannot remove the cross. You've got to go on to the cross and die for the sins of all humanity. Aren't you glad that Christ willingly went to the cross? And he died for you and he died for me. But that wasn't easy. He went with prayers and supplications. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he pleaded with God the Father. And the Bible says that he cried and he shed tears. You see, with the right kind of praying, there is spiritual intensity. We were taught in Bible college that real prayer is real work. That's what we were told. Real prayer is real work. And we need to remember the intensity that Jesus had in his prayer life. Getting up early to spend time with God the Father. Staying up all night praying and talking with God the Father. Going into the Garden of Gethsemane and praying to God the Father. Prayer. Being specific in our prayer requests. So first there is prayer, adore. There's supplications, ask. Talk to God about what is going on in your life right now. And then number three, notice that word thanksgiving. And the idea there, appreciate. When we come to God in prayer, not only should we adore him for who he is, but we ask him for specific requests, but we should appreciate what he has already done for us. Too many times we are eager to ask and slow to appreciate. Sometimes we think a prayer is just, oh, I need something, Lord. God, I want this. God, I need that. We ask and we ask and we ask. When is the last time you said, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for the prayers you've already answered. Thank you for what you've already done in my life. There may be moments where we don't need to come with any requests, but rather we just need to come and worship him and thank him for what he has already done in our hearts and in our lives. In Luke chapter 17, you have the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. 10 lepers came with a need. Jesus healed all 10 of them, but the Bible says that only one came back and thanked him for doing what he did. I wonder if that ratio is still the same today among Christians, where the average Christian is always asking God to do something for them, but then they never stop to thank him for what he's done. We need to be thankful people. God has been good to us, folks. You stop and you reflect on your life and what all the Lord has done in your life. And I believe that your heart will be filled up with gratitude and thankfulness, saying, oh God, I don't deserve what I have. You've been so gracious, so merciful to me. And notice that Paul says, in everything we are to pray with thanksgiving. Everything. And so we need to remember this, maybe this is an old cliche, and maybe it's been worn out over the years, but it's still true. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That ought to be the motto of the Christian life. We're not going to worry about anything, but we are going to pray about everything. And don't just pray about the big things in your life, but pray about the little things as well. I laughed one time whenever my father-in-law used to say that he would pray over a good parking spot. I thought, well, I don't know if I've ever prayed over that. I usually like to park a little bit of ways, you know. But my wife's always looking for a spot up front. We have issues about that every now and then. But I park way out. She wants to park up close in front. But praying. We pray about even the little things in our lives. Now notice in verse 7, because the result of the right kind of praying, if there is adoration, if there's asking, and if there is appreciation, the right kind of praying takes place. The result is found in verse 7, the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God can give us perfect peace in the midst of adversity. You say, I'm overcome with fear, and I'm worrying about this, and I'm worrying about that. You can have the peace of God if you'll do the right kind of praying. When we take everything to God in prayer, we think about it. This is the best deal in town, folks. You can bring all of your problems to God, and then He gives you peace. That's a deal. Some of you are always looking for good deals, right? You're looking for good deals in town. I'm here to tell you that is the best deal ever. You bring all of your problems, all of your anxiety, everything that you're worried about, all the things that you are overcome with fear about, you bring them to God, and God gives you peace, perfect peace. Notice that here in verse 7 it says, it is a peace that passeth all understanding, which means that is the kind of peace where God defies human comprehension, defies human reasoning. You don't know how, but God gives you peace anyway. Have you ever prayed about something and you still didn't know how it was going to work out, but you had peace about it? That's a God thing, right? That's God giving you peace. You say, well, I still don't know how He's going to work it out, but I'm what? I'm trusting Him. You see, from a human perspective, often we say, well, this has got to happen and that's got to change in order for us to be happy and to have peace. But God says, I'm going to give you supernatural peace in the midst of your adversity. Never underestimate the power of prayer. I told you last week, I am reading devotional books this year, challenging myself in my prayer life, or my lack of prayer life. I believe probably I've heard more messages on the subject of prayer during my Christian life than any other subject. A lot of messages on prayer. I know that I need to be a prayer warrior. I know that prayer needs to be a priority in my life, and yet so often I get busy doing this and doing that, and the ministry just sort of carries you every day with the things that have to be accomplished, and sometimes prayer gets put on the back burner. But I've been reminded this year, I need to be a man of prayer, man of prayer. The greatest thing about prayer is not that it changes our circumstances, but that it changes us. You think about that. If you think you are just using prayer to get whatever you want in life, you have greatly misunderstood the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to express our need of God, our dependency upon God, and it's giving Him all of our fears, all of our worries, all of our problems, and then we receive His peace. And our circumstances may not change, but God changes us. That's the kind of God we have, folks. God wants to change you. God wants to transform your life and make you more into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, you're not going to become more like Jesus without adversity. We've got to go through tough times. We've got to go through the valleys of life if God is going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in our lives. So we must pray right. We must pray right. There must be prayer, that is adoration. There must be supplications, that is asking God specifically to meet the need in our life. And then there has to be thanksgiving, that is where we express appreciation and we express gratitude for what God has already done in our hearts and lives. Then we'll have peace. That brings me to number two. We must think right. Not only must we pray right, but we must think right. Look at verse 8. Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We must think right. Here's something we must all remember. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feelings. If you think wrong about something, you'll feel wrong about something. You see, our lives, in a sense, are the product of our thinking. Even though thoughts can't be seen, they are real, and our thoughts are very, very powerful. I'm reminded of what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're not supposed to just have any thought that comes to your mind, but if it is a wrong thought, then we must capture it and get rid of it out of our minds so that we can think about that which only God wants us to think about. What I'm about to put up on the screen here is also something that has been said over and over again, but it is so true. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Our thoughts are very, very important. If you constantly think about the wrong things, you will be paralyzed with fear. Peace of heart will be gone, and worry will dominate your mind. I have shared often with different people Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Wonderful verse in the Bible. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. If you want peace, here it is. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We keep our mind on the Lord. We keep our focus on him. And we trust him. And what does God do? He gives us peace. If you focus on your circumstances, you will worry. But if you focus on Christ, you will have peace. Simple formula there. But that's really how simple it is, folks. Sometimes we complicate the Christian life. We make it harder than what it ought to be. Here it is, very simple. If you focus on your circumstances, then you will worry. But if you focus on Christ, you will have peace. So what should we think about? Look at the verse again. Let's look at verse 8. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one of these things, but I want us to think about what we're supposed to think about. Number one, things that are true. You see that? Things that are true. Psychologists tell us that about 8%, did you get that? 8% of the things people worry about are legitimate matters of concern. Only 8%. That means, research says, 92% of the things that we worry about fall into three categories. Number one, things that we imagine. Have you ever imagined things? And then suddenly the more that imagination goes wild, the more what? Worry you have, and the more concern you have about that situation. Why? You're just imagining things. Number two, 92% of the things we worry about, not only do we imagine, but number two, things that will never happen. We worry about things that never will even happen. Somebody has said that worry is like the hamster, you know, in the cage on the wheel. And he's running and running and running and running and running. And he can run for 30 minutes. And guess what? He's still in the cage when it's all said and done. That's the way worry is. We just run, run, run. We're just exerting all kinds of energy. And it doesn't solve anything at all. And most of the things that we worry about, 92% of it, we imagine it. And most of it will never happen. And number three, things that are beyond your control. Things you can't change. If you can't do anything about it, don't worry about it. Amen? You can't do anything about it. Just don't worry about it then. We're control freaks, aren't we? We want things to go our way. We want to control this and control. Folks, there's a lot of things in life we can't control. Don't worry about it. Go to the Lord in prayer. Think straight. Think about those things that are true. Satan wants us to believe his lies, but God wants us to build our lives on the truth of his word. right? John 17 and verse 17 says what? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to think right, then you need to saturate your mind with the word of God. It is important for us to read our Bibles every day. How many of you are still faithfully on the Bible reading schedule for this year? Raise your hand, all right? Lots of hands going up. That's good. A little tougher this year as we walk through the Old Testament and read it. But I want you to know, I've been blessed reading the Psalms. Have you enjoyed the Psalms? Boy, I've loved them. Reading this on constant reminder to me. Have you noticed how many times the psalmist says, I will trust in Him, or I will trust in the Lord? And boy, it just reminds me, I need to do that. I've been underlining verses in my Bible, and boy, that speaks to my heart, and I circle that, and I mark that. And you see, when we saturate our minds with the Word of God, we're thinking about that which is truth. Truth. A lot of lies in our culture today, right? Lots of lies. Satan is the father of lies. And that means it's even more important for us to get into the Word of God on a daily basis so that we can saturate our minds with that which is true. Number two, things that are honest and just. Now, this refers to things that are worthy of respect, things that are right. We shouldn't think about things that displease God. You say, well, how do I know what pleases God and what displeases God? The answer is the Bible, God's Word. You say, I want to know, what does please God? Read the Bible. Once you understand the Bible, you know exactly what pleases God and what doesn't please God. You'll never know what is right or what is wrong by ignoring this book, the Bible. That's what's wrong with America today. We no longer know what is right and what is wrong, what is holy and what is unholy, what is pure and what is impure, what is righteous and what is unrighteous, because we don't know the Bible anymore. Well, we as God's people ought to know this book, the Bible, right? We ought to be standing on the truth of God's Word, and we ought to know that which is honest and that which is just. And then number three, things that are pure. We should have a clean, moral thought life. Don't contaminate your mind with sexually impure thoughts. Have pure thoughts, not impure thoughts. Keep in mind, you say, well, it's just a thought. There's no harm to it. No, no, no. Thoughts lead to a life. You've got to be careful what you think about, because eventually those thoughts will come out in your life. And so we've got to have that which is pure. And then number four, things that are lovely. That means we have to focus on that which is pleasing and that which is attractive in the eyes of God. Folks, eventually all of us are going to give an account for our lives to the Lord Jesus. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account for our Christian lives. Have we done that which is pleasing in His eyes? We need to remember that ultimately it's not about what others say, it's about what He says. Whether He will look down upon us and He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, senior pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.